I'll be going to Proverbs chapter 31, the last chapter in the book of Proverbs. Probably, as all of us know, this is one of the chapters in the book of Proverbs widely known because of the virtuous wife. The second part of this chapter is widely read, widely known, and widely appreciated because of this description of this honorable woman, the virtuous wife. And maybe a good way to begin the Mother's Day week. So first we will look into the first part of this chapter, not in great detail. The chapter can be divided into verses 1 to 9. It is the words of King Lemuel's mother. We do not know who is King Lemuel, but the queen mother is instructing his son, who is a king, about some of the very important things he should bear in mind, especially in relation to wine and women. The three W's are always a great peril to men of fame and men of name. That is, women, wine and wealth. As the book of Proverbs have a lot to say about all these three things, but this particular instruction from the queen mother is specifically in relation to wine and women. Now, so actually when we read these words, we are getting the impression is that the mother is saying, listen to your mama. No, it's time to listen to your mama. Even if you are not a kid, even if you are a king, you better listen to your mama. So some Bible scholars say that the name Lemuel means beloved to God. So some Bible scholars and some Jewish, in some Jewish traditions, it is believed that this is actually Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, speaking to Solomon, you know, under different names. There is a possibility, but it is just a scholarly guesswork. It may be right, it may not be right. But there is a theory like that. Lemuel is Bathsheba's name for Solomon, and it is her instructions to him. And these instruction in the first 9 verses, it is not simply instruction and counsel. It is more of a warning. No? So there is instruction there. There is counsel there. But actually, it is more of a warning. So in verse 2, we read, what my son and what son of my womb and what son of my walls, do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. So in the earlier chapters also, warnings against the adulterous woman, you know, several verses, several chapters. And that is again repeated by the queen mother. And in the following verses, the danger of getting intoxicated because he's a man of power and authority and wealth and fame and name. There will be a lot of cocktail parties going on in the palace. Somebody living in Washington, D.C. said, in this city, we have 3 parties, you know, Republican Party, Democratic Party, and also cocktail party. So that is very true of, you know, this situation for King Lemuel. So the mother is warning him. The reason she warns him about this getting intoxicated is, look at verse 5. Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. That is the sedative effect, you know, of the wine. And there is plenty of opportunities. This will open the way for distractions and weakens the mind and the body. And the king may neglect his duties, he may forget things, he may neglect his important duties, and he may not be able to execute the righteous judgment for the people to whom it is due. So people who are afflicted, people who are persecuted, people who are going through, you know, difficulties and problems and nobody to help them, it is the king who should be in the forefront to help them. But if the king is always, you know, under the influence of the alcohol, he won't be able to execute righteous judgments and obey the law of the land, and that will create a lot of problems. You know, look at verses 8 and 9. This message comes very, very clear. The Queen Mother's counsel: open your mouth for the speechless. That means those who cannot speak for themselves. They are poor people. They are afflicted people. They do not have any influence among politicians, you know. And so, like in contemporary terms, no influence in the White House or in politicians. It is not too bad here in our country, but in, you know, places like in India and in many other parts of the world, if you want to get something done, you need to know somebody in the police, somebody in the political party, somebody in the authority, you know, those who are in authority. So open your mouth for the speechless, those who cannot speak for themselves, in the cause of all who are appointed to die. That means those who are oppressed and afflicted, those who are neglected. You need to speak for them. You need to defend their cause. And the wine, intoxication, can become a hindrance to moral judgment. So that is the counsel she gave him. Now, many people have asked me this question in relation to verses 6 and 7. It's interesting verses. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. So that is, the Queen Mother is not commanding that you supply wine for people who are suffering, that they forget their miseries and let them have a sedative effect in their life. At least they can peacefully sleep. This is not an encouragement. But probably this is what many people were doing. So the mother is saying it may be okay for them as a medicinal thing or as a sedative thing, but for you, getting intoxicated is a big danger. So you need to keep away from it. And she is not commanding or encouraging anyone to get intoxicated, but at the same time, she may be referring to something that is commonly practiced by people in those days. So uphold justice for the poor and the vulnerable in the society, and you be diligent and vigilant in relation to their needs. So this is a warning. Now, beginning in verse 10 to the end of the chapter, it is the description of the noble wife, the virtuous wife. There are 22 verses and there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So all these 22 verses begin with a letter in the Hebrew alphabet in the order. We find a similar literary device in Psalm 119 too, you know, and that is a literary device, and that is followed here. Probably this is to help people to remember, to memorize, especially in the Jewish culture even today. People memorize a lot of things, and the children are encouraged to memorize the book of the law, the Bible verses, and the commandments in the law. So when it is arranged like in the according to the letters of the alphabet, this will definitely help, especially the children, when they are taught these things, it will help them to remember that and to memorize that. So, who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? So this is the profile of a worthy and honorable wife. Her life profile. And then all the descriptions are in relation to the character of this godly woman who is a virtuous wife. In verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her. So the first thing mentioned about her, verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies. The first thing mentioned about her is that she is trustworthy. Her husband has no suspicion concerning her, no fear concerning her. Their mutual trust is so strong that that is the first characteristic that is highlighted here. Her husband trusts her. That is the first thing. All the other things mentioned are important, but when something is mentioned as the first thing, I think we should pay more attention to that. So a trustworthy wife, and the husband and the wife always, they are in harmony. They can trust each other, and they do not have any suspicion or any fear or any kind of doubt about the moral integrity of the other person. We know that today, even among believers and unbelievers, this is a problem. Even when there is no need, some people are always suspicious about things and there is no trustworthiness, and that creates a lot of problems. In verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, she compliments her husband. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, we read that God created Eve as a helpmeet, one who can complete Adam. That is the literal meaning or the sense of the word. One who can complete, complement, C-O-M-P-L-E-M-E-N-T. One who can complete, one who can complement, one who can fulfill what God has designed for the man. He himself cannot do that. So I will make him a helpmeet. And this woman, the virtuous woman, her life motto, she is committed to compliment her husband. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. That is her priority. In verse 13, we read about her hard work. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. Very industrious, hardworking lady. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is at night and provides food for her household. So she goes to the market and get the shopping done and get food for the family, takes responsibility to provide them food and to cook food for them. And she is mindful always of their well-being. So in various imageries, and very familiar to the audience and the readers of this day, all these things are described and mentioned. You know, the word household, about her family and the setup of the family, and her commitment to her family is repeatedly highlighted here. Look at verse 15. We have the first mention of the word household. Then verse 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household. Again, same verse, for all her household, the third occurrence. Now, verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household. I think the message here is that even though she works outside the home, she is very industrious, very hardworking. She seems to be a businesswoman, a woman of wealth and status, and an influential woman. Her priority is her household. That is why everything she does outside the home, again, the instructions and the description brings her back to the home again. She is doing all these things not for her name or fame or for her freedom or that she wants to prove that she is equal to man, you know, not in any feministic spirit, not in any competitive spirit. She does everything, all these things. It's important for us to see that, you know, that is, everything here is in accordance with God's plan for the family as revealed in the Old Testament scriptures, especially in Genesis, in the creation narrative. So it matches, it goes side by side. And the revelation complements, the revelation here and the revelation in the book of Genesis complements. And the revelation in the book of Psalm 127, 128 related to the family, husband, wife, children. It's all in the same track, in the same line. So everything she does is for the blessing and the benefit of her household. So whether it is her real estate, whether it is her shopping, whether it is her marketing, whether it is her spending, whether it is her buying, ultimately who is benefited? Her husband and her children. That's a wonderful truth which we should not miss. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She is smart and she, with great intelligence, wisdom and discernment, she knows how to invest. When she gets some money, when she considers a field and buys it, and with the profit, she plants a vineyard for the sake of the family. So she plants everything very wisely so that she and her family may be blessed by these endeavors. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. Probably she works hard even at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands holds the spindle. That is, you know, she is very expert, a great expert in making some clothes for the family. It's talking about spinning the thread and making fabric out of that. In verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. She extends her hand to the poor, yet she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is very generous to people who are in need. Her eyes are open to the needs of others. In verse 15, the last part, we also read how she takes care of her maidservants working for her. So she takes care of her maidservants and she takes care of the people in need, people around her who are poor and who are needy. She is generous. She shares her blessings with them. In verse 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with a scarlet. She is prepared for the winter season and she makes or buys or keeps warm clothing of highest quality material for the entire family. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. So, it seems that the clothing mentioned here and in these verses It seems that these are expensive clothing and valuable clothing. So we get the impression that this woman is a woman of status. She has a reputation in the society. So the question is, can all women, should they aspire to have this kind of luxurious clothing if she is a godly woman? Probably not. The thing that we should be, women should be aspiring in this woman is her godliness, her industriousness, her commitment. But in her life situation, she wants to be presentable. She wants to have good clothes. The references here, some legalistic Christians would find it very difficult, you know. She makes tapestry for herself, verse 22. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. These are words used for expensive, luxurious, fine quality clothing. So she has a need for it and she makes use of them. She wears them. Those are probably not the things to which every woman should be aspiring. All can emulate her industrious nature, her hard work, her commitment to the family, and how to build the home. Those are the most important things. Other things are related to her particular circumstances, as it is related to the circumstances of many of us, even in this group. In our assembly gathering, there are many who works in very responsible jobs, in very responsible positions, and they have to, you know, dress up accordingly. But those are not the things which everybody in the assembly should be aspiring for, that I should have a tie and a coat and a dress and like that person, you know. But we should be emulating the godly qualities in another person. In verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Now she brings great honor and credit to her husband because her husband is one of the elders in the city. You know, in the book of Ruth and in the Old Testament scriptures, we read about elders of the land and they do civic business at the city gate and they have regular meetings there. So her husband is one of the elders in the community who has some responsibility in the administration of the civic affairs in the city. And she brings credit to him and to his reputation. When I read this, you know, I thought that she didn't want to take that position. Today, the attitude is different in the feminist liberation movement and society. Whatever the man does, I want to do. I also want to be in the city gate. And what about the church? If a man can be a pastor or an elder, I also want to be. And there are many churches go in that, you know, compromised ecclesiology. So he didn't want to take his place. In those days, there was no woman in the city council. But he allows her husband to do his work and support him. No competition, but completion. No? Her husband has a responsibility, name and reputation and fame in the city council. To her, that is his business. And she supports him. She is proud of him. And because of her work also, she gains reputation and honor. And she wants to be a true helpmeet, not crossing the line, usurping any kind of authority. So we get the picture here that even though the husband is the head of the home and the elder in the city gate, The woman here, the virtuous wife, seems to be an internal home manager. And she is the chief operating officer in the home. And she does that effectively. So she watches over the ways of the household. As a result, her children and her husband, verse 28, praises her. No, the tense and the verb and the words used there indicate it is something regular. There was no Mother's Day in those days. That means the husband and the children were regularly appreciating and regularly praising and honoring her every day, on every occasion. And that was something habitual. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. But from the description here, we get the impression that this woman has both charm and beauty. But we read here that it is not sinful to be charming and beautiful. There is nothing wrong in that. You know, there is nothing wrong in having this purple clothes, all those things. But the word of God, even the testimony of this woman, reminds us that that will come and go. The only thing that will last is the woman who fears the Lord. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. I may add a few more comments next week from these last verses. But it is very important for us to know again, these are literary devices. The book of Proverbs started with the fear of the Lord. See where it concludes. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The first two Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7, is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That is the first proverb. And the last proverb here, the last verse, last but one verse, concludes on the same note. What is the secret of this woman's success? Who is she? What is she? Why her description is mentioned here in great detail? Her secret is a woman who fears the Lord. After all that is said and done, that's what it is. A woman who is in reverential submission to God, in worship and obedience to the word, and one who is committed to doing the will of her God. So this is the description of a woman who fears the Lord. The book begins in the fear of the Lord and concludes in the fear of the Lord. I may take a few minutes, God willing, next week to dwell upon some more of great truths in the final last verses. Then we will have a quick over. Thank you. One item for prayer, especially. Valsa and I will be traveling to UK tomorrow. All of you know my sister-in-law passed away earlier this year, and none of us were able to go, and we are taking just a few days to go and visit my niece and family in Cambridge. They pray for our trip. It's a short trip only for the week. Go tomorrow, plan to come back tomorrow.